everybody. Welcome to Thursday. Sorry about the Nine Inch Nails. We were talking about Nine Inch Nails before the show, and I was like, wouldn't it be funny if I played that Nine Inch Nails song? The Pretentious Artist was pointing out that when Trent Reznor wrote that song, he was like our age, which...
Oh, was he?
Yeah. And then that led me to look up how old the members of ICP are. They are 37 and 35, respectively. Yeah. KMD... KMD just informed me that... Peter Steele, the lead singer from Typo Negative, died, and when I said what happened to him, he helpfully said...
He died.
Yeah. I suggest that maybe he got an erection and his huge cock took all his blood.
Yeah, that happens. People pass out.
It's like vitally important, the doctor told him, that you never, ever get an erection. And he was like, well, what job can I get where no one will ever want to have sex with me? I know, I'll become a rock star.
Right.
That was what he decided. So, Hot Stuff's back. Riff's parents are in town, and I don't know if he's coming back or not.
He is AWOL.
He is AWOL. I did not give him leave. He ate dinner with his parents without so much as a by your leave. Insubordination. Insubordination among
of
my
clauses.
Employees. It's just not, it's not acceptable. It's not a thing up with which I will put.
How come there aren't like grammarians that have insubordinate clauses?
I don't know. Like, I guess if the words don't do what you tell them to do,
yeah,
insubordinate clauses. KMD says, "Shut up! I'm not a doctor." Okay, I guess you have to be a doctor to read
a
web page about what happened to a dude. How did you know that he died? You know, and
he was there, dude.
Cool. So then he would know how he died.
The erection thing.
Right. Yeah. but that must be traumatic for KMD to have a dude die while you're having sex with him. Yeah, I don't know, man. So you went to Tucson. You didn't go to Tucson.
I didn't go to Tucson.
You went to Boston.
Beantown. Beantown.
Oh yeah. The Windy City. It's ironic that Beantown is not the Windy City.
That is true.
Like, later. One day it's Beantown, and then the next day it's the Windy City.
Well, it's possible that Chicago is just downwind.
And then the third day, you're like, oh, God, I really shouldn't eat any more beans. I think maybe I'll eat a big apple instead.
Yeah.
And then
work your way down the coast.
The gateway to the West.
You're having a hard time thinking of additional
other cities with nicknames,
food metaphors.
Yeah. What do they call L.A.? The shithole.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could eat an armpit, you know.
Sure, you could eat an armpit.
Well, I'm just thinking
of... reading The Joy of Sex again? Did you steal your parents' copy of The Joy of Sex from
parents
a trunk in the attic?
Did not have a copy of it.
Your parents never experienced any joy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you know.
Not while I was around, at least.
Well, I'm telling you, that was all your dad's fault. Because I know from personal experience that having sex with your dad is no fun at all. boy. I'm kind of foundering because I was relying on Riff
and his humor quotient,
sort of new hat to fuck with, or some kind of, it looks like maybe the hatch to a timing belt.
Are you talking about me?
Or a distributor cap?
Yeah, I have no idea what this device is. It's circular.
Plastic. Oh, I bet it's from a chair.
Could be from a chair.
It looks like a spider with a hole in it.
Yeah, like a five-legged spider.
Yeah, like a starfish.
Like a really short five-legged
spider.
A hole
cut out of the middle of it and all of its tentacles cut off.
Yeah.
Are they tentacles on a starfish?
Legs.
Pseudopods? Legs? Are they also arms?
Arms.
You can't hug a child with nuclear arms.
I bet you probably could.
Yeah.
I bet, like, Nuclear Man could totally hug a child.
Where did the child get those nuclear arms in the first place?
Oh, the child has nuclear arms.
How do you kill a guy with a marshmallow? Find a guy with a marshmallow and shoot him. That was our joke. So we got these sort of good thank you cards.
Oh, Jesus.
Just prior to the show. The Pretentious Artist took a page out of my book from my freshman year at college, where I may have told this story on the radio before, but I was dating this girl. My freshman year of college, and we decided that, there's a longer story. So there was this guy that lived on the floor named Rob something. He looked kind of Polynesian, and he went around. He tried to convince a lot of people that his name was Rob Biakabatuka, which is pretty funny. I think Biakabatuka is a good name. You know, it's a just falls right off the tongue in an entertaining way. I'll always remember it. So he went nuts and, like, just kind of disappeared. He didn't come back from Christmas break. And it turns out that what he had done was just, like, taking the money that he had, took his car, just drove for, like, a few hours, and then checked into a hotel and just, like, hung out in the hotel room until the police found him.
Was it illegal, or was it
home? No, it was just parents were looking for him.
I see. He was like a missing person.
Yeah, he was a missing person. But then he was found. So it was weird. And then he came back to like get his stuff and go home. I don't know. He was just, you know, couldn't hack it or whatever. That happened to a handful of people. You know, there's people that just can't hack it in college. But he took everything, and because his parents were with him helping him move all of his stuff out, he left all of the porn that was underneath his mattress. Which was like, you know, 4 or 5 magazines. So they
had replaced the box spring with just porn.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, it's funny that like porn comes in magazines, and so do bullets. See, I told you that pornography perpetuates the culture of violence against women.
Right, but also points.
Points.
Bullet points.
Oh, bullet points. I see. Point breaks.
Yeah.
I still have never seen Point Break. Anyway, Rob Biakabatuka left all of his porn.
Yeah.
And I wrote a blues song. Biakabatuka left his porn. So the porn just got sort of disseminated throughout the... disseminated.
That was kind of a stretch.
Yeah. It was out in the lounge for a long time, and so people would just page through it. And it was like, I feel like it was one of those things where it was like, oh, ha-ha, now it's suddenly okay that we're all looking at porn, right? You know, it was like this weird shared social experience.
Right.
Which was, you know, I, for one, had never perused porn in the presence of, say, 10 dudes and 10 girls. Right. But
Did it lead to orgies?
No, it didn't. Well, it did not lead to any...
Did it lead to orgies you were not invited to?
Yeah, maybe it led to orgies that I wasn't invited to. I always had the sense that there were a tremendous number of orgies going on that I didn't know about.
I hate that feeling.
One time, one of my sort of fratty roommates was when he found out that I had gone from sleeping with one girl that lived in this room to sleeping with another girl who was in the same room. He was like, man, I don't even care if they're ugly hippie chicks. If you fuck two girls at the same time, that's going to be fucking awesome. Like, wow, you're a real prick. They were excited. They were hoping that I had started sleeping with the sort of hot half black chick that had moved in there. It was also a hippie.
They were all living in the same room?
Yeah, it was like a dorm situation. It was like a 2 bedrooms with 2 people each in them.
And you didn't get it on with all of them at the same time?
No, I didn't.
Wow.
Sadly enough.
That is sad.
But anyway, so me and the girlfriend, who... those guys were assholes. Both of the girls were super cute, right? We decided that we were going to make Groundhog's Day cards for all of our friends. So what we did was we just took, like, we got a single sheet of poster board and just cut, like, sort of odd shapes out of it and made cards that just said, Happy Groundhog Day, and then we just cut and pasted, like, dicks and boobs and vaginas out of the porn magazine and glued them all in there. And that's what the pretentious artist has given us. He gave us cards that on the outside said, thank you for helping us move. And then on the inside, just nothing but vaginas. I don't know where he got the porn. I can't imagine that he would have gone and just bought a magazine.
Yeah, I'm guessing that he found some as he unpacked. That is my guess.
Yeah. And you know, he was like, instead of keeping it, he was like, hey, I should make some cards out of this. Maybe it was cathartic for him to cut up the women in the magazines.
Now that he is a married man.
Yeah. He's symbolically cutting all other vaginas
out of his life.
Yeah. And symbolically cutting off penises. I don't know.
Let's hope that's just symbolic.
Mm-hmm. Mine had a black and white sort of full shot of a man with a mustache and an erection.
Huh.
I don't know where that came from.
Mine had a single black and white image of one dude surrounded by 3 women with large breasts.
Cool. So yeah, that was the card that we got.
2 cards, 1 card each. Yeah.
And he just dropped them on our desks and said, "This arrived for you."
This came for you.
This came for you. Maybe that was a joke.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah.
then he like hightailed it out of here before we could open them.
How was GoBots?
It was okay. It's kind of derivative of Transformers.
Boston, yeah.
Bostog.
Yeah.
Bostog was pretty good. Mm-hmm. No, I had a great time. I hung out with a bunch of friends of mine from college and like good friends that I'd seen quasi recently, and then I was there for a surprise retirement party for one of my professors.
Isn't that like a getting fired party? Surprise, you're retired.
You're retired, yeah. And a bunch of people came in from all over the country. So a bunch of people that I hadn't seen for like 10 years were all in the... He was a theater professor, and a bunch of people from all over the country that I hadn't seen for like 10 or 15 years, which was really cool. Like, a lot of them are doing interesting things, and I don't know. They're just all interesting, good folks.
You talked to some fellers from some video games.
I did. Turns out some of my friends from college ended up working at Turbine and were like significantly high up in the chain of command for Dungeons & Dragons Online. And then also there's a KOL player that was also pretty significantly highly placed in working on that whole set up or whatever, and so I had drinks with all of them at different times over the course of the weekend and talked about you know, game development and sort of their journeys and stuff.
I wish I had been there.
Yeah, it would have been, I think you would have enjoyed it.
Yeah, you know where I am going to have been there, though, as it turns out, is Germany.
That's true.
In a couple of months.
Yeah, I think we have not actually talked about our travel plans at all.
That's true. Well, I didn't have any.
Until yesterday. Yeah.
But yeah. So, a long time ago, the Pretentious Artist and I had made a plan to go to Germany for a few weeks. And it didn't work out for one reason or another. Like, we'd, you know, had all our stuff ready, we had our tickets and everything, and then just neither of us could go. It took like 7 or 8 years for him to finally get around to going again. He had lived there for a couple of years right after high school. And so knows a lot of people, and I always wanted to go there with him because he just, you know, like, there are just all kinds of places for us to stay, and people who are, you know,
super excited to see him.
Places, and yeah. We're definitely riding in on his coattails. Yeah. Hot Stuff was
The Pretentious Artist
was ahead of the Pretentious Artist.
Well, so but then the Pretentious Artist made distinct plans to go
right. This
year, and like bought tickets. He's going to go in June for much of June.
And I wasn't going to go, but then Hot Stuff reminded me about a sandwich that I like.
That's true. There's a sandwich which, not unlike Lee's sandwiches in Arizona, Jake cannot shut the fuck up about.
Yeah, I'm not just saying anything about it now, just except that the sandwich was one of my primary motivators in going. I have talked about it before. It's a fucking good sandwich.
Doner kebab.
The doner kebab, but it's a particular kind of doner kebab. It's a Turkish-influenced doner kebab that you can basically you can get it everywhere in Germany for like a dollar, and you can only get it in Germany.
What's weird is that they accept dollars.
I know, it's weird. It's a thing given just that donor stands, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so then I'm going to go in mid-May and hang out with some other college friends, and then...
Kidney donor.
Kebab.
If you got a donor made with kidney meat instead of, like, chicken and turkey.
Oh, you weren't making some sort of kidney donor joke?
I was making a kidney donor joke.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure.
A kidney donor. Or a brain donor.
Yeah. Heart donor.
Yeah.
I guess people tend to donate kidneys more readily.
Right, because that's something that you can donate without dying.
Right. You could probably donate a heart without dying.
You could donate skin.
You could do like a circle donation.
You could donate like 40 pounds of skin. And if you think about it in terms of potatoes, that's more than you can carry.
It's true. You don't have 40 pounds of skin on you, do you?
I doubt it. You slough off 40 pounds of skin over a lifetime.
Oh, right, that was where the... Right. That's
which
the genesis
is why, I remember reading this Metafilter argument where people were like, alternatively, saying... Jesus Christ, I can't believe how long you filthy assholes go without changing your sheets. And the other side was saying, what the fuck is the matter with you? Just go to sleep and relax.
Wait, like, what?
It was like, I don't know, there was some bullshit, you know, scare article about like, oh man, do you know what's in your bed? You know, bugs and stuff that eat your skin. And it's like, you know what? So what? It's like
they in a way that influences your ability to sleep.
I don't know. People claim that, and then everybody's like, "I change my sheets once a week," and I was like, "Wow, I am lucky if I remember to change my sheets once every couple of months."
I wash my sheets every 2 or 3 weeks, I think, probably.
I remember this conversation that I had with on my way home from like my freshman year of college on Christmas break when I said something. My parents asked me how often I was changing. How often I was like washing and changing my sheets. I'm like, oh, should I have done that by now? And it was like the whole semester. And my dad turned to my mom and said, well, at least we know he's not having sex. Because I guess the implication was that no girl would go into my bed.
Little did they know.
No, I was not actually having sex yet.
Oh.
They were right.
Oh, okay.
I came back, washed my sheets, immediately had sex.
Weird.
Yeah.
That's... Wow, so if you had just, in high school, had known
to wash
your
sheets. That's why mom kept them so... I think my mom would actually dump extra dead skin.
Extra bugs.
Yeah, extra bugs.
Huh.
You
know, that probably would have been more useful advice to have given to all of those high school kids that had been asking us.
Oh, yeah.
Because you just... Yeah. Because the rest would have just followed.
I don't think it mattered. I don't think it would have mattered. I really don't think it's that big of a deal.
Well, so now you're backtracking?
I don't change my sheets that often, and it doesn't really slow me down that much. You know? Just saying. Maybe it's gross, you know? Maybe people are grossed out by it, and they don't say anything to me.
Yeah, but you leave the lights off the whole time, so that helps.
True. I do have a black light positioned right above my bed.
God.
Yeah.
That would be a terrible decor choice.
Yeah. Ugh, God. Yeah, what are you... Yeah. Or white sheets. Although white... No, not white sheets.
White's... White can be okay.
White sheets will look better under a black light.
Better than what?
I like dark sheets because they make the room darker at night. That's my contention.
They reflect less light. They absorb more light. So I
feel like
you
open your eyes in the middle of the night, it is going to be darker. Your field of vision is going to be darker if you are staring at black sheets than if you're staring at white sheets that are like reflecting all the available moonlight or street light light.
Street light light?
Or light bright. Or rainbow bright light. RDFM says, Hot Stuff might be a little too close to the mic. He's very thumpy tonight.
Thumpy?
Thumpy. I don't know
what that means.
Maybe your sibilance.
Sibilance. It's possible. I mean, it is extremely difficult. Since I'm the one that's doing all the audio monitoring, it's really hard for me to tell what my levels are because I can hear my voice inside my head.
We need a producer.
Yeah, we could get a producer. Mm-hmm. We could also have two people on... headphones.
Right.
And I feel like that would...
I feel like it would still be impossible to judge our voices relative to one another.
No, because I would, like, let's say Riff and I had headphones.
Mm-hmm.
Riff could judge our voices in relationship to each other, and he would just make sure that my voice was the same sort of timbre?
Right.
As yours.
You would make sure that
his
was
also
the
same
as his.
Same
right. Okay, wow. Look at you look at you with your fancy logic puzzle solving abilities.
Yeah.
I really look at me being a retard.
There's that puzzle about everybody having like white or black cards, and because mm-hmm. nobody says anything, you know, like because nobody says anything right away, you know what everybody's cards are or something. I forget how that works.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm terrible at those. I still don't think that I ever figured out the thing where you have like two safes and two locks and a ruby or whatever, and you can't trust the servants.
And you have to get them across the river?
No, yeah, well, you're in two different rooms. You and your accomplice are in two different rooms, and you're trying to get the ruby from one room to another.
Huh. But you can only carry one servant?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I
think you can put one of the safes fits inside the other safe or some shit. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. I don't remember. I don't remember the statement of the problem, and it's one of those things where I kept not looking at spoilers because I wanted to solve it on my own, and I don't remember. I don't remember anything about it. We got some twat. Basically, what we were going for there is if anybody is in Germany and wants to hang out and has something cool to do in South Germany, or if anybody
Southern
knows
Germany.
Of anything that we should do while we're in South Germany, because we have very little in the way of agenda, and that's the way we actually. I kind of can't stand that, but I'm trying. Oh Lord, I'm trying.
I'm also planning on potentially taking a side trip to my favorite place in the whole world, which is in Switzerland.
Right. So. It's some sort of camp. It's some sort of never-ending jamboree.
Yeah.
A never-ending Gruyere jamboree.
It's pretty awesome.
You ate some Gruyere straight out of the cow.
We could potentially, we could try some of those wing suits on.
No, dude. Wow.
That is so terrible. Yeah. I would love to do that at some point. Yeah, I went parasailing when I was there.
I mean, some point maybe if you were dying of cancer.
Well, I guess, but that would be great, though, right? Like, if you knew you were going to die anyway, to just jump off of a bunch of mountains and, like, fly?
I don't think that would be cool, actually. I think I would be too terrified to enjoy it.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it would be terrifying for a while, and then you would, like, you would burn out all the adrenaline receptors, or whatever, and then you would start thinking about how awesome it was.
I don't think I can burn out my adrenaline receptors that quickly.
You would have to do it more than once, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, but parasailing, that was pretty fun, and you don't have to worry about safety nearly as much because you've got
parasailing is like where you go to Paris and drink a lot of beer.
Yeah, okay. you got a dude strapped to your back while you drink a lot of beer.
Huh? I don't really need that.
You say that, but I think you're wrong.
RDFM says, tap on a mic and what you get is a thump. It's almost exclusively on Hot Stuff.
But there was no tapping. There was no thumping.
There's no tapping. No gently rapping. Rapping at my Hot Stuff's mic.
Yeah. I don't know what that's all about.
The
mics are attached to our heads, so they don't really move in relationship to our...
Right.
To our heads unless we do it on purpose, so...
Yo-Yo got it written into the Twitter. Can you get the tiny plastic sword from the Schrodinger's thermos? If not, why not? Well, because we didn't want to reintroduce tiny plastic swords.
You can also not squeeze blood from a stone.
That's true. You also can't polish a turd.
What about a pearl from a sow's ear?
You can...
Purse?
You can
purse?
Lead a horse. You can't make a silk purse from a sow's ear.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Which,
you're thinking of pearls before swine, which is another pig-related...
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
...analogy, metaphor.
But the purse wouldn't have pearls in it, either.
Well, no.
So, therefore...
A purse that does not exist, by definition, does not contain pearls. So that's why, Yo-Yo God. Data Vortex says, can you tell us more about plans for this year's con? What musical guests besides Front are you considering? Would really enjoy seeing either YT Cracker or Dual Core. There is a great compliment to Front a lot. Mini bosses and one-ups were good, too. So
everything is a little is well not everything things are in various states of assuredness.
Frontalot, we're relatively sure is returning. Do we talk about the?
We can. I've mentioned we've all but booked Freeze Pop.
I know fuck all about Freeze Pop.
They're like
I also know Freeze all about fuck pop.
That's true. They're a fun like techno pop band. They've got like video game related music. They had a couple songs in the first Guitar Hero.
Oh, huh.
Because I mean, it's
but they're it's they're like
it's all the Boston. I don't know if they're
some of them work for Harmonix.
I don't know if they do. They're friends with them at the very least. Like, it's a weird group. Like Honest Bob and the Factory to Dealer Incentives was another like local small Boston band that got some songs. I think like unlockable songs in the first Guitar Hero. And I think it's all because
fuck you and your unlockable songs.
Yeah.
Fuck you for existing amongst a bunch of dongs.
It seems like it's a pretty small group of like nerdy band dudes in Boston.
Did the Dresden Dolls come out of that same culture?
Amanda Palmer was not really nerdy per se. She was very artsy.
She's more insufferable than nerdy.
No, I don't know. I've only hung out with her a couple times, and
I hate her voice. I hate it.
Really?
Yeah. I normally am a fan of annoying voices, but that shit is just fingernails on a blackboard.
Wow, that's weird. That is weird to hear you say that.
Yeah, I know.
No, I like Amanda Palmer.
I heard her do a cover of a Neutral Milk Hotel song, and it just made me so fucking mad.
Yeah, but that might also be that you really like Neutral Milk Hotel too. So
sure, right? So, but I mean, I can her voice just fills me with rage now.
Wow, that sucks.
Maybe Neil Gaiman can figure out some way to stop her from talking.
God.
I'm just saying. I want him to experience some joy.
So they're all but booked, and then there are two local bands that may or may not play. It's unclear at this point. We have invited the mini-bosses to play, but they're really unsure of their availability. And then there's...
Oh, did you want to go see them? Nothing like just having personal conversations on the radio. Did you want to go see them on Saturday? See, we live in a town where the minibuses frequently play.
Maybe.
They're playing
Depends on timing. I believe Riff's parents have decided to take us out to dinner.
Maybe we could have them take us out to eat tacos in the parking lot of the Yucca Tap Room.
That's always a possibility.
Maybe we can take a barbecue grill and grill some tacos.
Yeah.
Have a grilled taco fiesta.
And then there's another band that's in town that their music is not at all like
anything that anyone else. Who's at KOLCon will like.
No, I wouldn't say that, but
no, it's a fun live show. I mean, it's just
they're very high energy. They're like really cool. But the sort of potential neat crossover that I'm really hoping will some sort of synergy will actualize.
Have you mentioned this to either of the people involved? So you're just going to put it out there in public first to.
Yeah, well, I mean, why not, right?
Like, I guess, yeah.
It doesn't really matter because it may or may not happen. It's very much a pipe dream at this
point. So this band is a very talented female lead vocalist.
Yeah, and I think that she would be able to pull off the female parts of several of Frontalot's songs on Zero Day if they were so inclined.
So basically, you want her to provide female parts for MC Frontalot.
Sure. Yeah.
So, Data Vortex, that's the deal. Hey, speaking of which, Data Vortex, I saw your videos of the LARP that you put on YouTube, and that's pretty cool. I'm thinking about linking to that in the promo material for the LARP this year so that people who are weirded out by the word LARP will see that maybe this is something that they'll enjoy.
It's not really a word.
We gotta figure out what the fuck we're gonna do to, like, streamline it, because we really need to get things done in about a third the time that we did last time.
We could just talk three times as fast.
What we could do is we could say everything ahead of time and then play it on an iPod at 2x speed.
Right, but
then that would just sound like us talking.
Then that only that makes it only twice as fast, though.
Fine. We'll also skip every third word.
There you go.
Tom Smizzle says, have any of you guys heard the bonus Frontalot track? I can't wait till the solution is really public so I can listen to it. I have not. I he sort of vaguely explained what it was, and I forgot, and then I asked him again, and he told me again, and then I forgot again. Quink says, if you don't mind, would you please mention thespeedgamers.com? They are doing a 48-hour Earthbound marathon on May 7th for charity. How do you play Earthbound for 48 hours? I don't think that game is even 48 hours long.
I think it is. I think you just keep playing it in cycles. Isn't that similar to the, like, playing Desert Bus for charity thing?
Yeah, the Desert Bus for charity thing. Yes. Yes, no. It's as similar to that as what I just said to what you just said. Yeah, I don't know what charity they're doing it for, but yeah, thespeedgamers.com, according to Quink, is a thing you should look at.
You're just offering whatever people say. If somebody said, hey, would you go check out jumpoffabridge.com, would you totally do it?
Mm-hmm. If all my friends were checking it out, I would do it. All of my friends were checking out lemonparty.org.
Were they?
Yeah. I don't know if they were doing that or not.
Has anyone made a lemming party?
I don't know.
Hmm.
What would that be?
I have no
just
idea.
A bunch of lemmings running off the end of an old man's dick.
It's possible.
What if that's enough of a fall to kill a lemming? I doubt it. I guess it depends on the old man.
Well,
and where he's standing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. An old man with his erection sticking out past the edge of the top of the Eiffel Tower probably would kill a lemming, unless the lemming had a wingsuit. Or unless he was like one of those crazy... I mean, a lemming in Paris, an American lemming in Paris, might have picked up some parkour skills. I hear they're big into parkour there.
What is parkour?
Maybe he would just run down the side of the Eiffel Tower. It's just jumping around.
Oh, shit. It's not...
No, it's like running. It's like jumping and running up the sides of buildings and
it's not like facing that you put like linoleum really like in a bathroom.
You're thinking of parfait.
Yeah, that's like the dessert linoleum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty tasty.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's like that's what you know. The gluttony guy in Seven had some dessert linoleum.
That's true. Right. He did. He stored it under his fridge.
That nice didn't make any sense to me. That thing in the movie. Why did he feed the guy linoleum from the floor? It was as a clue.
Yeah.
So that the police would find the hidden message.
Yeah.
But why? I mean, why wouldn't he just write the message on the wall like he did?
I think the idea was that he wanted it to take them some time to find and figure out.
I see.
Like, it was all a matter of, like, dragging it out so that he could perpetrate the other.
So that he could get caught when he wanted to.
Yeah. I mean, we don't know what his actual plan was, right? Because he kind of got accelerated into doing things a little differently than he had originally planned.
I need to watch that movie again.
It is really good.
It's a good date movie.
Not so much.
Oh, come on. Oh, man. I remember putting on Trainspotting while we were eating lunch once. First one I was eating lunch with was like at the toilet dive.
Oh, yeah. Scene.
Was just like, yep, all right, I'm done eating. I forgot about that. Can I have that if you're not going to finish it?
There's a bunch of really kind of...
I ate two different lunches.
Gross stuff in there.
I don't know, man. I know that a lot of people are like skeeved out by Trainspotting, but I really liked it. I will just watch that movie over and over again.
It is a phenomenal movie, but there are definitely some gross bits.
Yeah.
In it.
I'm trying to think if there's anything that I wanted to talk about. I was gonna spring a crazy design idea on you guys again, because that worked out so fucking well last time.
God.
You're such a stick in the spoiled sport mud.
Fudge.
You're a candle pisser. You're a parade rainer. Do you think Jim Raynor from StarCraft, his middle name was Parade?
It's possible.
I wish that I was interested in the StarCraft 2 multiplayer, because I'd be playing the shit out of that beta.
I'm super excited about the single-player campaign.
Yeah, I'm super excited about Diablo 2.
You're super excited about Diablo...
Diablo 3?
T-O-O?
Yeah, I'm super excited about Diablo 3.2.
Two.
Yeah. The patch that will come out in 2 or 3 years.
I signed up for the Mac beta for Valve's Steam architecture thing, I guess. I have no idea. I assume that I will not be invited to beta test anything, given that...
Just because you never get invited to anything?
Yeah.
Like the orgies?
I get invited to all the orgies.
Oh, God damn it.
Sorry.
You're a jerk.
Yeah.
Are you going to get invited to all the orgies at Maximum Fun Con?
I am theorizing that Max Fun Con will not have much in the way of single ladies.
Yeah, I think that your initial estimate that there will be zero single women at Max Fun Con is probably accurate. But, you know, we came there to drink, not to get laid.
That is true.
We
have yet to go.
You might be able to get Jordan Morris to have sex with you as a joke.
That's funny.
I mean, I would laugh.
Yeah, I'm sure you would.
I would laugh. All the way to the bank, because I'd sell a video of it.
Okay.
People would pay top dollar for that.
Would they now?
Top dollar. See, I was doing the top men repeat
yeah.
from the end of Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
For those of you who didn't get what I was doing there.
Yeah.
You know, my favorite Hanna-Barbera cartoon was Top Cat. Top Cat.
I like that the shirt you were wearing yesterday was the Idle Thumbs logo, but in the Top Gun design.
Now say it again.
Top Gun.
There you go. Yeah. Now you've learned to do the joke. I did get my awesome Idle Thumb shirt. I was afraid it was too big.
Thanks for helping me through that. I totally stumbled in the middle there, and I wouldn't have been able to make it through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I know. It's like Mr. Mag's kids. It's like you know what a joke is, sort of, but you don't exactly know how to construct one.
Mm. Yeah.
You're still learning.
I didn't get to hang out with Mr. Mag's kids at all when I was in Boston.
I'd like to meet them. They sound delightful.
They do. They really do. I gotta imagine that Mr. Mag is a good dad. I mean, he already knows everything, right?
That's true. He knows everything that's gonna happen. Yeah, yeah. So he can be like, don't touch that. You're gonna burn yourself. And he'll know.
Yeah.
He can say with 100% accuracy. His kids have to be just astonished at his level of prescience.
Well, but that's the thing. They're not necessarily astonished, right?
Oh, because they've never known
anything. That's all they know. Yeah.
Like they just assume.
I mean, every dad knows everything.
Their dad is, you know, knows everything, but
right.
with them, they're actually right.
Yeah.
That's going to mess them up. They're not going to be able to have that conversation with, you know, when did you realize that your dad was fallible?
Exactly.
Fallible. Well, we could look at Radio Bugbear questions.
That is the truth.
I guess. Warranty void links to some fun parkour. Selkie Last says, please consider allowing donations through rixd.com. It would be nice to turn my spare change into Mr. A's. I don't know what rixd.com is.
Yeah, I've never heard of it before either. Are you starting from the bottom?
Yeah, I was looking at the bottom.
All right.
Stupak2 says, my friend walked into an orgy on a band trip once. This one time, on band trip. was it really an orgy, or was it just a handful of people having sex?
Well, that's the question, right? If it's a real orgy, and you walk in on it, does that mean you're effectively invited?
I don't think so.
Is that, are there like, party fouls when it comes to orgies?
I have to imagine, yeah. I have to imagine that there are a lot of potential party fouls.
Huh.
Because, I mean...
like, hey guys, I brought the AIDS!
It's like... Sweet. That was, yeah.
That might be one.
Yeah. let's see. The ACM question from the top had been...
You're just bouncing around,
no,
man.
No, I went to the top.
All right.
Cyber34 says, hey, have you checked out WarioWare DIY yet? I just spent the last 4.5 hours making a pretty cool mini game in it. Jesus, I bought it today when I was at the mall buying my mom's birthday present. And... I played it for, like, 10 minutes, I guess, while I was waiting for a load of laundry to finish.
Yeah.
And I got through, like, what appears to be, like, 1/1000th of the tutorial. Like, it's very repetitive.
The tutorial was repetitive?
Very, very repetitive.
What is the... I don't know anything about this game. What
it is
idea?
Like a WarioWare game where you make your own mini-games. And so
I don't know that
some rudimentary scripting and
I've ever found any of the WarioWare type games to be all that interesting to begin with. I don't know that my opinion would change if I could make my own games. Right?
Yeah, I don't know. I just wanted to see it. I mean, I thought that it might be cool.
Sure. I'm just curious, like what the draw is.
The thing that I liked about the WarioWare games is when you would unlock, like, there was, I forget which one there was, but there was one where it was just a bunch of, like, old 8-bit Nintendo-themed mini-games, and so, you know, it's just like, all right, make Link walk around and pick up a bunch of rupees, you know, that. And like, that's, it's just kind of neat, you know? It's not, it taps into that, like, unlocking shit instinct.
Sure.
In a big way, you know, and it's,
like when you have two safes and a ruby?
Yeah. Yeah. But I can never figure out how the unlocking works.
Right.
You know? Love Me says, how about a KOL app?
Well...
Yeah, Hot Stuff's got the budget.
Yeah, it's... I mean... I just would feel really bad taking time away from C.D. Moyer, who's doing, like, just crazy awesome stuff.
Yeah, you know, I mentioned on Tuesday that we were working on the combat macros, the combat scripting stuff, and, like...
He has gone insane.
In the last couple of days, he has gone fucking nuts. Like, it has gotten just to be this crazy full-featured... Like, it has gotten to the point where we're trying to come up with a name for the programming language. Everybody's brainstorming in dev. I think I like the name that he came up with.
That he came up with, or that Mag came up with?
I don't know. Maybe it was Mag. It was probably Mag. I mean, probably C.D. Moyer came up with it, but Mag knew ahead of time that
right.
He was going to and just told him what it was going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can remember. I remember seeing CDM saying it, but I don't read the devlog very carefully.
That is true. That is the truth.
Perforin1Q says, can you make the pike count as a two-handed club? People keep wanting that, and I just need to do it. I just need to do it. There is... The word pike staff...
Uh-huh.
...is a thing.
Okay.
It's like a walking stick.
Okay.
So, just making it a plexiglass pike staff, changing the word sharp to heavy, and making it a club...
Uh-huh.
...is what I would need to do. Why don't I do that right now?
Okay.
Why don't you answer a question, and I'm going to make the plexiglass pike a two-handed club, because there's no reason not to.
Okay. I'm going to go back a little bit. I don't know if you guys talked about this before. Ernie R. asks, could a note about completion of the antique quests please be added to the other accomplishment sections of the quest log? Yeah, that's actually something that I would kind of like, too. I don't know...
I wasn't listening. What?
What? Seriously?
No. I was working on
typing
some codes.
Did you finish your codings?
No, I had to edit a description.
hold on. And then, well, so then Ernie goes on to say, also, I would use the sea a lot more often if the maps unlocking new zones weren't quest items and I didn't have to farm sand dollars to get them each time.
I said that. I read that on the
Did you?
On
yeah.
Show. Yeah. And I said that what we're going to do
is meet people halfway.
Yeah, kind of. So there's... I had an idea that I like, and I might as well just put this out there because maybe people will have some suggestions. So one of the other problems is that the old man quest doesn't really make any sense.
Post your first time,
yeah, because you do it the first time, you get dust boot or whatever. So what I was going to do was I was going to make it so you can choose a reward from the old man.
Right.
There would be dust boot. There would maybe be one or two other pieces of gear that you could get.
Maybe a consumable.
And then a bunch of consumables.
Oh. Yeah.
Like, like you could get a chest with maybe 200 sand dollars in it, or whatever. Like,
whoa.
Enough sand dollars. Basically, enough sand... We're probably also going to make the maps cheaper. But you could get a chest with enough sand dollars in it to buy a few maps.
Right.
Just right at the outset, if speed is what you're worried about. And then, you know, maybe you get a consumable that gives you some depth mitigation or whatever. I'm sorry, that makes you a better swimmer.
Right.
Because it's not actually called depth mitigation. so yeah, that's a thing. Working on these fucking maps, man. I'm glad that we got these done in January. So that we have the whole rest of the year to just work on whatever we want. Alright, Plexiglass Pike is a two-handed club.
Done. Did you trivial update that?
I did not...
You should totally trivial update that.
I should totally trivial update that.
I don't know that trivial update is a verb. Sompium tweets and says, make a more programming-friendly interface, plain text input via URLs, etc., and I will make you a KOL app. I mean, if we were going to change the interface enough that you'd be able to do it, we would also be able to just do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. The one thing, I don't necessarily want to support, well, I mean, you could do anything just by generating web requests, right?
Like, could,
so,
really, honestly,
there is a text interface to KOL, it's just kind of convoluted, and there are certain things that require, like, a post instead of a get.
So we are, like, 95% of the way to a KOL iPad app. For example, right? Like,
are we?
I mean, because you just need to build a tiny little browser exterior and then fix a few things that don't work.
I mean, I guess why wouldn't you just play it in a browser on the iPad?
Because not everything works.
Well, there's a few, like, yeah, there's a few little glitchy things, but I mean that those could just be.
Because then
fixed,
you could also sell it. I don't know.
Yeah, well,
that wouldn't make any sense. Right, exactly. No, but I mean, you could do things that you couldn't do in the. In a web thing,
having
whatever.
It in the App Store as a thing that people could find when
yeah.
they're looking for RPGs,
for example,
you know, not the RPGs that aren't just fucking identical Mafia or
right.
zombie live zombie,
right?
Gold.
When sunlight drops, you'll be able to tap on it directly instead of having to click on it with your mouse.
Mm-hmm. They were talking about that on Idle Thumbs today.
Just the Plants vs. Zombies
yeah.
kind of
talking about just being able to just like touch multiple pieces of sunlight at a time with two different fingers
yeah.
and pick them up and like
there are ways in which that is super satisfying compared to playing the game with a mouse,
right?
Which is really interesting, right? Like I didn't really think about that, but like Pixel Hunt style games are going to be really satisfying, I think, on an iPad, potentially, right? Because you can sort of just move your finger around, and it's not nearly as arduous as the whole mousing process. Yeah.
Cool BufferBot says, question for Jake. What inspired you to create KOL? Mushrooms or just pure genius? A little of column A, a little of column B. I've never actually taken mushrooms.
Wait, so you invented like KOL mushrooms and pure genius?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I didn't realize that.
I actually invented the movie Real Genius.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that movie?
I did. I watched it last year.
Okay.
And, you know, was not...
It didn't blow you away.
No. It did not fill the little house in my heart with popcorn.
All right.
K. Captain Kirk says, as an IT professional, I love the bug bugbear, but I do notice his bugs seem to be a lot more web programmer oriented than kernel panic oriented. Yeah, Riff wrote that joke.
Yeah. It's, I mean, they're definitely supposed to be bugs in KOL, not bugs on your computer and your operating system.
Well, I mean,
for example,
they would not have a kernel panic on their own. We would have a kernel panic on our end.
But then the game would just stop working, wouldn't it?
Kernel panic and search and fear.
Like, when a kernel panic happens, it just, like, everything stops.
I like that the villain in Tron 2.0 was the kernel.
In the video game?
Yeah.
I've not played the video game.
That's fucking good.
Do you think that that is canonical in terms of the movie?
I don't know. I really don't. I mean, I think it's probably not, because the movie is about Flynn's son,
right,
who does not have the same name as... Because you're Flynn's son in Tron 2.0, and you don't have the same name.
I see.
You know, Flynn is not still in the machine when you go in there.
He's been, like, missing for years in the... In sort of the...
Yeah, I mean, I think
the backstory of the movie has been played out.
Yeah, I think my understanding
ARG.
Is that for, you know, he's been missing, he's been in there for 20 years of real world time, but to him it's been thousands of years.
Because of the speed of a light
inside there, yeah.
That
is my impression solely from him, the scene from the preview where he says it's been a while, and Jeff Goldblum says,
Jeff Goldblum?
You have no idea.
I see.
Right. Yep. Mojo Tech says, how about a familiar that refreshes buffs when it's with you? That would break a lot of things. Giving you more turns of the buffs that you have is a thing that we want to do pretty sparingly. Pineapple of Despair says, dear Jig and Company, the Nemesis quest trophies are in the wrong order. It should be 87, 85, 88, 89, 86, 90, 94. How could you? Well, that's the order in which we came up with ideas for them and implemented them.
They are, in fact, in the wrong order, though. That kind of thing is dissatisfying to me, like, when we do that. And we do it all over the place, too, because we'll spindle all kinds of... Yeah. Is spindle the right... Like, we use that word.
Yeah, no, that's just...
Nobody else outside of us uses that as... No. Okay.
Xenophobe just made that up. Because to spindle, like...
To spindle is, like, to fold or to, like...
To fold or mutilate, I don't know. Let's check the dictionary, because you do not fold, spindle, or mutilate. I think maybe spindle is when you slam something down onto a spike.
Really?
I kind of think so. Spindle, verb. Spindle... Verb.
This is the part of the show where we read you the dictionary.
This is the part of the show where we wait for some fucking ads. What? See entire result. Why would I not want to see the entire result? Yeah, to impale, thrust, or perforate on the spike of a spindle file.
Oh.
Right, so, okay. You know, like those things that are
terrifying
to slam a receipt onto? That is what it means to spindle something.
See, you can make this pencil disappear. God. Okay, so that has absolutely nothing to do with the way we use the word.
No,
not even a little bit
at all.
I wonder if we just keep using the word the way that we have decided it should be used,
is that going to have an influence on anyone else?
Yeah, I mean,
I doubt it.
Well, because I mean, language has to change and morph starting somewhere, so it might as well be us.
It seems such the right word for what we do now.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even think of it as being this random word that was just sort of accidentally brought into being in this way. Yeah. So we have these things called spindlers, and we will often, like an item spindler, where we can make new items and stuff like that. And if I'm doing stuff, I always put things in the right order.
But I tend to, but if...
But sometimes, you know, like, you'll do, like, the moxie stuff first instead of the muscle stuff, and, like, it just happens, you know?
Mm-hmm. I do it just to make you crazy.
Yeah, that's also possible.
Does that make me crazy?
That you like making me
Does
crazy?
Does that make me crazy? RDFM says, so, pegging, basically. Yes. Basically, pegging is what Hot Stuff does for a living.
Yeah.
Let's see. Well, you know what's fashionable these days? Complaining that the MMG is rigged.
It just isn't, though.
Yeah, it really isn't. I the extent to which people will construct these just elaborate conspiracies and
there is something about like flipping a coin a bunch of times and having it be like heads four or five times in a row. You're like, wow, something's going on, but it, you know, it just isn't.
It's just not.
Unless you happen to be a character in Hamlet,
a Tom Stoppard play.
Well, yeah. I was thinking a Shakespearean play that then Tom Stoppard would write about.
I see. Well, I mean,
I really liked that play, actually. I really liked the idea of like characters confronting the fact that they are sort of determined by being in a play. Their lives and their whole, you know, existence is predestined in that way.
Right. Weird. Polished turd several days ago said, it is possible, or is it possible to polish a turd? And if so, would you display one at your home? If I feel like, if I met a goat who shat golden globes, I would polish one and display it in my home, because I've always wanted a solid gold globe.
Then you could offer the rest as awards.
I've not really always wanted a solid gold globe. No, I would probably sell them. I mean, I've got the goat that lays the golden globes. You know, I don't want to look that gift goat in the butt.
Yeah, because it would be kind of a horrifying goat's experience, I'm guessing.
Yeah. There's a new definition of jick in Urban Dictionary.
Yeah.
A person who lives in a town named after a bird in the middle of the desert and draws stick figures for a living and enjoys making echoes on radio shows by leaving his goddamn speakers on.
Do you do that very often?
I don't think I do that very often.
Okay.
I think I do that once every 10 or once every 1 radio show. Merriam-Webster online is getting less and less usable, although it does have a picture of a goth chick now. What else do we have? Magic 2729 says, the traveling trader turtle tamer skill should have been this, Book of the Rhinoceros. It would teach them the skill Rhino, a move you can only do the first round of combat. You charge the opponent and give them a vicious ramming knee butt. A Rhino is when you do that charge up to them and knee them all in one motion. It's better than a knee butt because you get extra force and speed in the attack, but you're very powerful since you can only do it once a combat. I guess it would work for seal clubbers unless you're planning monkey grip. TM. Still not going to do monkey grip.
I like the seal clubber skill. It's pretty cool.
It is interesting.
Yeah.
Is it... It's not a passive, is it? It's like a self-buff.
I think it's a self-buff. Yeah. I forget.
It's neat. That's... I did have...
some inspiration on that one?
Yeah, it was cool. That skill doesn't really make a whole lot of sense for a turtle tamer, because...
The rhino?
Turtles and other amphibians.
Wait, are you trying to say that a rhinoceros is not an amphibian?
No. What am I, stupid?
Are you trying to not conflate rhinoceri and hippopotami? And amphibi?
Let's see. I am going to take a break, play some more music from the Natural Born Killers soundtrack. So sorry about the clips from Natural Born Killers.
Are those just embedded in the songs?
Yes.
I see.
A little more Nine Inch Nails. How about that? It says, we're gonna, it's more, you know, angsty.
Do you choose things like Natural Born Killers and Nine Inch Nails because they are near each other in the alphabet?
No, that Nine Inch Nails song was from the Natural Born Killers soundtrack. I wanted to play that particular song, and I was like, oh yeah, this is a really good soundtrack.
I see.
All right, so we'll be back in like 10 minutes.
Ciao.
World's coming to an end, Mal.
I see angels, Mickey. They're coming down for us from heaven. And I see you riding a big red horse. And you're driving the horses, whipping them. And they're spitting and frothing all on them out. And they're coming right at us. And I see the future. You know.
love you, man.
I know you do, baby. I've loved you since the day we met.
Anyone has ever had a heart couldn't turn around and break it. And anyone has ever played a part couldn't turn around and hate it. Sweet Jane.
Thank you. ocean in a silver plane. See the jungle when it's wet with rain. Just remember till you're home again, you belong to me.
I just wanted to tell you I love you and I miss you.
It's the 1990s, all right? In this day and age, a man has to have choices. A man has to have a little bit of variety.
What are you talking about, variety? Hostages? You want to fuck some other women now? Is that what you're talking about, Mickey?
Why'd you pick me up? Why'd you take me out of my fucking house and kill my parents with me? Ain't you committed to me? Where are we fucking going?
Just relax, all right? It's me, your lover, not some demon, not your father, all right? Relax.
No, you're not my fucking lover. You're not my fucking... You've been loving me. You've been fucking loving me. Huh?
I still recall the taste of your tears. Echoing your voice just like the ringing in my ears. My favorite dreams of you still wash ashore. Scraping through my head till I don't wanna sleep anymore.
Again, sorry about the Nine Inch Nails.
Why are you apologizing for Nine Inch Nails?
Because Nine Inch Nails kind of sucks.
What?
Give me a version with no lyrics or better lyrics, because it's musically good, but it embodies
for me like my high school angst, though, right?
Which I sometimes want to be
reminded of that, you know? This Rixty thing is actually kind of interesting. I'll have to look into it more significantly.
Is it some kind of Coinstar-like thing?
Yeah, it's like you go and you take cash and coins to a machine.
And then it credits your Rixty.com account?
Apparently. And then you can use that online. So it's great for people that have no credit cards or don't want them. It seems like it'd be... I mean, I'd have to check out what the rates are.
I wonder where they get their money from.
I'm sure they get a percentage from us.
I mean, because
they get money from Coinstar,
right?
Too.
Yeah. So if they took a percentage of the money that you put into the machine, they would not have to pass the cost on to
the vendors.
They
probably do anyway.
You think they do both?
Yeah, they probably.
Because they can get away with it.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. I'll have to look into that.
RDFM wrote into the Twitter, "That was a nice version of Sweet Jane. Good job." No, I know, man. That is so much better than the original.
That's the only one I know.
In my opinion.
I don't know the original.
Yeah. I just kind of don't get... I don't get why people are so excited about the Velvet Underground. I said it.
Yeah. Wow. You're going to have hit people out after you now?
Hit people?
Yeah.
Hit parade. Linguini Lad says, "So was this intentionally made to look like Goetze, or is it just coincidence?" And links to a picture of the fortune teller. Wow, sorry, I accidentally scrolled way down. The fortune teller's hut from Legend of Zelda: A Link to the Past, and it's like two hands on either side of a glowing crystal ball on the little sign. It's pretty funny,
huh?
Hush says, "Jick, I just listened to the end of your April 8th, 2010 show. You said, and I quote, 'It's always clown porn. I can't thank you enough for those few moments of my life. I hope I never forget it.'" Reverend Noodleson says, "Jick, please put intrinsic Canadianity on Mr. A. We could do it now. We always said the reason we didn't do it is because the code didn't support putting intrinsics on accessories."
It's super easy now.
Well, no. It would have been easy before, but it didn't work right.
Oh, I see.
The way that the code for intrinsics worked, it was just not... It didn't support accessories.
But now they do.
I believe it does now, yeah.
Huh. I think Mr. Ehs are up to...
They're up to 15, yeah.
15
each. You put them at 15. What do you mean you think? You're the one that put them there.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll have to check again. I'll check again right now.
the thing.
The exchange rate. I've been doing it every couple of weeks just because I think it's funny. Yes, folks, it's manual. It's not done.
Yeah, it's not, that would be so much of a waste of effort to set something up to do it automatically. Fred Levi says, "What if there was a weapon that was a musket that you could spend one round of combat loading with nuggets for an elemental attack?" That's kind of a cool idea, actually.
I wasn't paying attention.
A nugget sink? A musket that you spend one round of combat loading it with nuggets for an elemental attack?
Neat.
It'd have to be a pretty serious attack.
To waste an entire round.
A round of combat.
I don't know. I don't feel like there's any reason that you'd have to have it loading between rounds. Anyway, you could just have it just shoot nuggets from inventory.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you'd basically have a bunch of conditional skills that were available if you had nuggets.
Yeah.
Dank nuggets.
I think that would be kind of interesting.
BMR says, "Mafia will automatically handle new lava maps. Adding new ones won't be noticed unless they have a radically different structure. The maps aren't hard-coded. Mafia checks the layout and solves it each time."
Yeah.
Huh. So, how does it check the layout non-destructively?
What do you mean, destructively?
Well, because potentially...
I think it sends you 5 turns in.
Which might be to a dead end. That's what I'm saying.
I think it might do that.
Huh. That seems less... good than just hard coding the maps, right? Like,
well,
if there's a
on
chance
the assumption that we're not going to put out 50 more maps someday, right?
Right. We're not going to put out 50 more maps. We never do shit like that.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to write 50 new chess puzzles, even though you could.
Yeah, we totally could.
Yeah, but you're not going to.
Well, it depends on if we decide to.
That was cool. I like those.
Those chess puzzles.
Yeah. I like having CD Moyer around because we can just do whatever we want. because it doesn't have to be something that I am okay with. Takenoko says, "Hi, Jake and Scully. On the last show, Scully said he refers to the Super NES as a Su-nin. Is this a reference to how Japanese call theirs a Su-fami for a Super Famicom?" No. I Scully's not here to confirm that, but I guarantee that that's not a reference to that.
I mean, in the sense of actual, like, making a reference, but it's probably, it looks like it's the same structure, right?
Right.
Super Nintendo. Super Su-nin.
Spoon Mam says, "What I meant was I started playing 5 years ago, but have now stopped, and I still listen to your podcast. It's hard to fit a whole message in this tiny text." Yeah. You can play multiple.
I wonder how many people are in that same situation, where they stopped playing months or years ago, but still listening to the podcast.
I don't know. We hear people say that all the time. I mean, I'll bet that we now get 3 or 4 messages that say, I totally quit playing a long time ago and still listen to the podcast.
Except they're doing it through Radio Bugbear, which means they still have an account somewhere.
Sure. I mean, anybody, you know, you could have quit playing a year ago and your account wouldn't have been deleted. Someone else pointed out that I was wrong in my anecdote. Although, what I did say that I thought, this is what it was, I didn't announce this with any certainty, but the original Japanese Famicom, he says, had 2 hardwired controllers. Player 2's controller had a microphone instead of start and select, and shouting into it killed Paul's voices. The fact that a flute is in the game is unrelated to the fact that they were killed this way. However, in Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening, Legend of Zelda Oracle of Seasons, and Oracle of Ages, they all had Paul's voices in them, and the in-game flute item did actually kill them instantly. There. Huh. So, yep, I had forgotten. I knew that story, but I had fucked it up in my head. Hogula says, "Have any of you heard or played this boss rush game? Basically, it lets you play as the huge, lumbering, bullet-spamming boss of a space shooter game. It's surprisingly fun, since you obviously can't dodge bullets. It becomes more of a tactics game of deciding exactly how to aim your absurdly huge array of cannons so the good guy fighters can't escape." BossRushGame.com. I played it and got through 5 or 6 levels and just wasn't that excited about it.
Hmm.
You know, I mean,
I like the idea.
Yeah,
I like sort of flipping paradigm.
Oh, sure, yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I will defend. I don't like your game, but I will defend to the death your right to make it. You know, like,
yeah,
it wasn't a bad game. It was just a game that I knew that I was not going to be good at. Like, I'm not, you know.
Do you feel like you need to have the, like, the possibility of being good at a game to play it?
I feel like if I am so bad at a game that I cannot get past level 5, say, that I'm not going to be able to fully grok it if I don't already grok it by level 5.
What if you start at level 5? What if you start at level 10?
I you can't.
Would somebody... You can't. You can't start at level 10?
No.
I could make a game where you start at level 10.
You could, but yeah. You couldn't make me start at level 10 on a game that somebody else already made. You could play to level 10 for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I could make some sort of, like, state machine URL that then I could pass on. And it would start you playing that game at level 10.
Avangion Q says, "When it comes to familiar combinations, the one I look forward to most now would be a sombrero slash purse rat. Any chance for a familiar of the month?" I don't think that I would ever do an item of the month that was a sombrero slash purse rat, because it does not seem cool to a normal non-optimizing player.
It's also, like, 2 highly synergistic functions all at the same time.
Yeah.
That doesn't make a lot of sense. It'd be like a... be like a starfish bugbear shaman or something, you know, like, I don't know,
just a free volleyball starfish, right? Say
volleyball fairy that costs MP but also gives you MP. That's what I was going for.
Oh, okay,
right,
I see. Is that what the bugbear was a volleyball fairy but it cost MP?
yeah,
okay, huh. I was thinking, for some reason I always conflate the bugbear shaman and the
wizard action figure.
No, I always think that the hobo was a reintroduction of the bugbear shaman, but
no,
it wasn't.
Not at all.
The hobo was a reintroduction of something else, though.
Gluttonous Green Ghost.
No, the Gluttonous Green Ghost was a different version.
Was
of
after
the hobo.
That,
I thought the hobo mechanic was there before, though. Like, I thought that there was something that was like fairy or volleyball, but like would also be a starfish. under certain circumstances, but I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I don't know.
Ah, Christ. This month is halfway over.
Isn't it the cruelest month?
Yeah. What do we do in May?
What do we do in May?
Yeah.
May showers?
Yeah. Fig Bucket says, I just wanted to thank you for introducing me to Ween and Joanna Newsom. This is great stuff. In return, I can recommend The Shins, Sports Guitar, perhaps The Residents, and Lamb Chop. I don't know if it was this person, but somebody else was talking about Lamb Chop the other day. I had never heard of Sports Guitar or Lamb Chop.
I have never heard of either of those.
I'll have to check them out.
The Shins are great. I like The Shins.
I only know that new slang song.
That's
because I don't. The only I
only
get all of my music
Garden
from
State.
Zach Braff.
Yeah.
Which is why, you know, I listen to that Colin Hay song over and over again. I learned that from Zach Braff. You know what else I learned from Zach Braff? To love myself.
And Natalie Portman.
Yeah. Yeah, I learned that it's okay
to love yourself.
To sleep with girls that are much younger than you. I already knew that.
Yeah.
RDFM says, hey guys, regarding Riff's new iPad and iPads in general, it's pronounced iPod, so it sounds just like iPod, because that's annoying as possible to everyone involved. Have you heard this bandwagon about referring to iPhones as iPad Nanos?
Bandwagon?
Yeah, it's a bandwagon.
I believe it was prestigious artists like nephew that came up with it.
I don't think that's true. I think it was a bandwagon.
Okay.
Or maybe he started a bandwagon.
I think it's possible that he did, because I've been spreading it all over the place.
Yeah.
Like,
it's
I took it to Boston.
Did you take it to Boston?
I did take it to Boston. You don't think it's that funny?
No, not really.
All right. Whatever. iPads are going to be the next big thing.
So you pointed out a potential killer app that might make it so that I have to buy one before Comic-Con, actually.
Which is what?
That credit card thing.
Oh, if that becomes feasible.
Was that a thing you made up?
No.
Or was it... Okay.
I mean, I can...
It's a thing that is real, right?
Yeah.
Like, so basically, it is a card reader that plugs into the headphone jack on an iPhone or iPad.
Yeah.
And then you can process credit card payments in real time, which is a distinct advantage over... Like, it would probably save us as much money in fraud over the course of Comic-Con as the iPad cost.
Probably.
A couple years worth. And then you can just hold the pad out, they can type in an email address, and get a credit card receipt emailed to them.
Yeah.
Which, that is fucking great. That, to not have to deal with the bullshit that we have to... That I have to deal with. This is a problem. Like, so many of the things at Comic-Con I don't have to do, but the point-of-sale stuff
actually
is just always this giant thorn in my side.
You know what would save the cost of the iPad is just not paying the merchant fees for PayPal.
Yeah.
That right there.
That would cover it right there.
Yeah.
So if that is a real thing, if that is a thing that we can actually do, because, I mean, you know, the cheapest iPad will do it.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't need a lot of space on those things, because I...
You'd want the one with 3G.
You'd have to get the 3G one, but the cheapest
3G
of the 3G one, which I think is like $600.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know how much this card reader thing is. And
free.
Is it?
Yeah, because, I mean, they make money on each transaction.
Oh.
I think that's how it works.
Huh. Yeah, look into that, because that is a mailing list. That is a thing. Like, that is just potentially huge for so many small retailers.
This thing is not even designed for retailers. This theoretically sort of turns the whole notion on its head of what it means to be able to take credit cards. They're designed so that you or I could just have them and, like, accept money from each other with credit cards.
Right.
Like, just regular, like, citizens. Like,
yeah, I mean, PayPal kind of already does that, right?
Kind of, yeah.
I mean, you and I can give each other money via credit card. There's more significant fees. I mean, the
sure, but like, we often be at a computer to do it, as opposed to just
right.
being able to like have this thing in your pocket and just say,
yeah,
oh, here's that $15 I owe you, and I just swipe my credit card through your phone,
yeah, and then authorize it somehow.
Yeah.
Though the point of sale system that we have is awesome. Right, it was, you know, really well put together. It was clever that, you know, it was clever of Xenophobe to have put the thing together in the first place, right? But it has just gotten cumbersome. It relies on my laptop being in the booth the entire time, which is frustrating. Because I don't want Zly finding my porn. And I know she looks. I've seen the glint in her eye. I've seen her judging me. I totally haven't.
You should start hiding all of your porn as like the header to MP3s.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I have to rename it MPEG. And it's like two lesbians licking each other and squeezing each other's boobs .mp3. And then you play it and it's never going to give you up.
Yeah. That'd be funny if everything was just a Rickroll.
Yep.
You could write a really small MP3. It'd be like maybe, you know, make it, renumber it, maybe make them MP7s. Make a really small MP7 decoder that they were all just the number one, and that in the decoder was Rick Astley's song. Right. Because like, it was like I came up with a really very easy way to make movies very small.
Right.
But the decoding algorithm had to
contain every movie. That's, yep. Terrible says, why does Slime Hates it cap at 1,000? It seems like 1,100 would be more appropriate for this game. Yeah, it was a lot of work for Hot Stuff to get the numbers to work for the Slime Tube.
So just live with it.
Yeah, you're gonna have to deal with it. Spoonmam says, the new Dan Lesak album has a song on it named Get Better. It's a good viewpoint on your welfare argument. You know what I realized the other day was I was listening to this NPR story, and it was talking about a form of welfare that I am absolutely 100% behind, and basically so has every president been since the 70s, which is the earned income tax credit. Right? I mean, I benefited from that when I made comparatively little money.
I never qualified for it.
You didn't?
I mean,
it was in the years when I was, like,
going
to school,
and I
only made, like, you know, $1,000 or whatever.
It's also really confusing because, like, the worksheet for it, like, really tends to lead you towards, like, if you don't have a kid, you're not going to qualify for this, so don't even bother, even though that's not necessarily true.
Right. I mean, I got it when I started using TurboTax, because TurboTax is like, hey, you know?
Right.
Like, God, that was... TurboTax is fucking great.
Really?
Yeah. It was like, all right, you know, I could do my taxes, and I could pay someone to do my taxes, right, and, you know, but, or I could spend $30 on this software that is going to save me $3,000. You know, just like, instead of paying them the way that I would if I was trying to fill out this form and not paying enough attention or understanding how things work. I hate filling out forms.
Yeah, you do.
I absolutely hate it, because I honestly feel like the way that my life is, I just don't have an appropriate answer for most of the questions on every form that I've ever seen.
Yeah, like, first name?
I know. What the fuck is that? How dare they?
Well, because, I mean, is it the first name that you used?
Is it, like, the first name that you think of?
Yeah.
Pendleroy. Right? I mean, yeah. What?
And because you've been filling out forms like this your whole life, no wonder everything is so confusing for you.
But yeah. TurboTax. Highly recommend.
Don't they have, like, an online TurboTax where if you don't make a lot of money, it's free?
I don't know.
I think if you make under a certain amount, like, using it and filing is free with them or something.
Yeah, I think that may be true. I feel like I've paid, you know, $30 or whatever to do it on the web in the past. And that's fucking great. You don't even have to... The first few years that I did it using TurboTax, I'd actually have to go to the store and buy a copy of TurboTax.
Right.
But it always paid for itself. You know, you are the kind of guy who will actually learn about taxes. You will read and understand all of the material. And I'm just like, I don't know, man.
There might be loopholes that I'm not taking advantage of or whatever, mm-hmm. I guess. But, I mean, I'm just, I, the first year I had to fill out taxes when I had, like, a bunch of self-employment income, it took me, like, 24 straight hours of, like, reading all of the stupid books and, like, trying to understand everything and, like, realizing that I had to fill out yet another form. That was... There's, like, this insidious sort of, like, nest of forms, like, because you fill out your 1040 and then you have to fill out, like, a Schedule C for...
Self-employment.
Not self-employment, for profit or loss from business.
Ownership.
And then there are a couple of line items on that that have you felt yet another form, like a 4352, which is like depreciation of goods and stuff like that. And like that form alone took me...
Do you have to use a device with a 6502 processor in it to fill out that form, such as the Atari VCS?
No. That would have made it even that much more complicated if I did, though.
Beep boop.
Now I have a spreadsheet. Like, for the past few years, I've just had a spreadsheet that has all the numbers that I need to write into that form. But if I had to actually do that manually every year, it would take a while.
Wow. Imagine if you had to... If the way that you filed for income taxes was by having to beat a certain score on Activision's Sequest, I would be really good at doing my taxes.
That's true.
Imagine that world.
That is a strange world.
All right. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to spring some crazy design bullshit on you.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Right.
With 15 minutes to go.
There's a half an hour to go, or 25 minutes. I don't know. It's 8:30 by my clock. I'm going to ask you about this, and then I'm going to force you to talk about it for a couple minutes because I'm going to go get a beer.
Oh, wow. Like, so I am just going to riff on your idea?
Yeah, like at a bar. So I'll be back maybe in time to hand off the streams, but no, I'm just going to get one out of the fridge.
Okay.
It's right over there.
Yeah.
All right. So, because this is how every idea starts, reduce turn yield from food and booze by 25%, and then you perm two skills in Ascension instead of one.
So this is an idea that would just happen and blink at everything?
Yeah.
Huh. That's
discuss.
Okay, so...
yourself.
So all food and booze now no longer gives you quite as many turns. So things take slightly longer, but you are now perming two skills on an ascension as opposed to one, which over the course of, you know, improving your character means that things take half as much time. It's an interesting trade-off. It seems narratively... strange. I mean, would we put it in some sort of narrative context as like a world event, or would it just happen by fiat?
It's the kind of thing that I feel like would probably just happen by fiat. I can't imagine what narrative. There are some things that we need to fix. There are some really long-standing bugs in the food and booze.
There's like ways in which the math isn't doing what it should.
And it's just weird because it's like I'm kind of afraid to fix it because it slightly reduces the turn yield, and so I don't want to be like, hey, I just made food slightly worse. I made certain food slightly worse. But the 25% reduction in turn yield was not really a serious part of the thing, even though I really want to do that. I think that giving two skills... the idea of giving two skills per ascension instead of one, I think, would make a lot of people really happy.
Would it, though? I mean, like, why? Because it would speed up the amount of... Or it would shorten the amount of time it takes to, like, become competitive?
Yeah, or just to become more powerful, you know? I mean, perming skills is fun, even for people who aren't serious speed players, right? So it's just like... I don't know. It's a thing, right? I mean, it's just handing people a big bone. It's here.
Touch my
here's
big
a,
bone.
Here's a big bone for your hand.
There's nothing wrong with it in theory.
There's nothing wrong with communism in theory.
I just don't know. I don't know how people would react. I mean, people will get to the point where they have nothing to perm faster.
Sure.
And I don't know what happens to people when
get to that point faster than they did in NS11? I mean, that's the thing. Do ascensions take twice as long now as they did?
That's an interesting point, right? Like,
yeah. So, I mean, that's a lot of money.
There are a lot more skills to perm now.
Sure.
Kind of ideally what you want, I think, is for someone to acquire all of the things that they really need or want to get to be sort of speed competitive in roughly the same time frame, right? So
in the same time frame as they did in NS11.
No, just roughly the same time, right? So like
I don't understand.
I know. So let me you know, a telescope.
Please clarify what you're talking about, because I don't
enumerating
understand.
It right now.
I know. I'm just fucking with you. Okay. It's funny.
So, like, a telescope and all the bounty hunter stuff, like the lucre things.
Right. So, which puts a, I mean, that puts a timer on it right there, right? Because the bounty hunter, I mean, 200 minus...
Just for the...
200 minus the number of ascensions that you can pull
off.
Well,
200 is just the skill, but the hound dog is also pretty important for speed play.
Is it?
Yeah. People use it pretty significantly.
Huh. Okay.
So that's more, right? So like 300 minus the number of ascensions, right? So that's pretty significant. 300 days, assuming that you're doing lucre every day.
I mean, what I don't think that we can do is make it, like, just by definition, we cannot make it take the same amount of time to hardcore perm everything you need for speed hardcore and
that
softcore
is true.
Perm. And the lucre takes the same amount of time and applies to both hardcore and softcore, right?
It takes the same amount of time, assuming that you can complete one a day if you're doing hardcore, lucre core,
yeah,
you know?
I guess that's true. Yeah.
So, I mean, what I'm saying is I feel like it would be kind of ideal if you sort of were working towards all these goals at the same time and achieve them roughly at the same time so that you, like, sort of broke into this thing full speed, right?
Kind of hit the ground running once you got olfaction as opposed to having to...
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, maybe perming skills happens way earlier than all of those other things. Right,
because you really only need
maybe, like, the ability to perm
40 skills,
30 or 40. I mean, but I feel like there are people doing 20 some skill. There are people doing leaderboards with 20 some skills or even fewer.
And they're
right?
They're already very skilled at the game, so yeah. it's not like they're learning while they're doing it, which I feel like is another thing that you're sort of like you're accumulating experience while you're doing all these things too. You know,
right? And not like experience points, but like you're, you know, say maybe getting to third base with a girl for the first time,
right? While playing KOL.
Maybe you're drinking your first beer.
We do encourage, you know, experimentations with different alcohols.
Right, and getting to third base with as many girls as possible.
Just third base?
Yeah, why not? I don't even know what that... Third base is like anal sex, right? Now. These younger girls, man. Crazy.
That's not like first base.
Yeah, I don't know. First base is anal.
Yeah.
Second base is anal with her and one of her friends. Third base is her starring in a snuff film for you. I don't know. Yeah.
So you can only do that once.
You can only do it once, yeah.
Per relationship.
Yep.
Huh. Yeah, you know.
So, I mean, here's the question. Would people kind of... I feel like if you looked at the game and you thought, okay, here's everything that I need to do to get... to get powerful. Like, I want to be one of these ascender guys. Here's everything that I need to do. The lucre and skill gathering are kind of at cross purposes. Right?
That
because
is true.
Because to ascend effectively, you're not necessarily being able to do a bounty every day.
Well, right? I think you just do the bounty every day and you ascend as fast as you can doing that.
Yeah, in spite of that. You know, so letting people gather skills more quickly in that context would be like a nice gesture. I think
it's kind of nice to that as you accumulate more and more things, you speed up. You know,
yeah, and I think it would be more pronounced now. And here's the thing, right? Like, there are a lot of like neat utility skills that I think don't get permed until way, way late because you don't want to, like, you have a skill that is going to make so much of a difference
right
in your next run that you can't not perm it, right? Like, you just cannot in good conscience not make the optimal decision to perm pasta mastery, you know, as opposed to something fun, something that you, like playing with, but is not, like, gonna make your next run faster, right? So maybe it encourages people to do that, right?
Yeah, I mean,
but probably not. I mean, you know, what I'm thinking like along the same terms as, like, you know, Blizzard's recent, like, or the talent changes with Cataclysm, which I don't know how much people know about that. I don't really want to get into it in huge detail, but basically there were a lot of things that they felt were neat that nobody ever did because it sort of nerfed you for really high end rating play. Like, somebody wouldn't take you unless you had this. Somebody wouldn't let you in their raid group unless you had a very particular build. And what that did was some of the just like kind of interesting little utility
flavor things
just never got any action because people were like afraid to take them. I would argue that they did get action. They got action from people like me who didn't care about rating. It was like, wow, that's cool. You know, like, oh, here's a thing that lets you set dudes on fire. Here's a thing that increases your lightning bolt damage by 1%. Give me the thing that lets me set people on fire, because that's fucking awesome. You know, even if it doesn't actually do any damage. What, like, that's the kind of decision that I would make if I was playing that game.
Right.
I don't know that that would happen, because, I mean, there's probably... You know, it would depend on, like, how many crucial skills are there in each class to perm, right? How many crucial, like, skills from skill books are there? Like, I feel like perming the Hodgman passives fairly early on might be a good idea.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right? Because just, like, a passive plus item drop seems like just a no-brainer for a thing to perm.
You could almost divide skills up into... class skills and other skills, and you could perm one from each set,
huh?
And that would not, you know, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
but maybe that's strange.
I think it is a little strange because there's so much fewer non-class skills. Yeah.
Well, okay, but by class skills, I'm just meaning the stuff from the trainer. So, the like all the skill books that we've been introducing. Would not be considered class skills, even though they're associated with a particular class.
Right.
And then all the, you know, like, yeah, I mean, gnome I guess I, skills.
There's still a lot fewer of those, I think.
Are there?
Maybe not. Maybe there aren't.
No, you're probably right.
Because there's what? There's the 90 regular class skills?
Yeah, I don't know how many skills there are in total at this point.
Yeah, how many sets of six have we done? Five sets of six, maybe?
So there's probably not.
Yeah. Maybe there's maybe half as many other skills as there are class skills.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I don't know if we can really get away with
changing
the food change, right? We could just say you can perm two skills per run now and everybody would be like, woo, you know, but it's a question of whether it's like is it a good idea, you know?
I don't know. You know, it is in some ways neither good nor bad, right? Because it's one of those things, again, if it had been that way from the beginning, no one would have thought differently.
Right.
So...
One other potential advantage, I think, is that part of the fun, I think, in ascending and collecting skills is noticing on your next run the awesome shit that you can do now.
Right.
And I feel like the difference between any two runs is doubled if you...
Yeah, it's one of those things that, like, you perm the bigger ones first, and they make these huge noticeable differences, and then...
Right, so...
As you get down to the nitty-gritty and sort of the miscellaneous skills, it becomes less and less noticeable.
But it's still... The same principle happens at double the magnitude.
But over a shorter period of time.
Okay, yeah.
So that's...
So it depends. I mean, at what point does the impact of two very minor skills outstrip the impact of one major skill?
Right.
Is it... longer than twice as long as it takes to get all of the major skills, right?
Right.
Then, on average, yeah, okay, you're right. You're burning your candle at both ends in terms of being excited about ascending.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I think you are right that, in general, people would be happy with that as a change.
Well, I mean, it's just free goodies, so yeah. I feel like, yeah, definitely people will be happy with it, but...
The people who accumulated all the skills would maybe be a little annoyed.
I don't know that they would. I mean, because they talk about...
They could get twice as many blank entries in their skill list.
They lament how many people... You know, how much longer it takes people to get up to speed competitively. And like, God, I'm glad I didn't have to do that, you know, in a way, so...
It is in some ways a little bit of a balancing for people that start playing in an S13 compared to people that were able to ascend that much faster in an S11 and got sort of a... foot up.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if runs take twice as long now. I kind of don't feel like they do.
Well, they definitely take longer.
Whether average runs take twice as long as average runs did previously, because that certainly wasn't our goal.
No.
Right. But I think we missed the mark in basically every way.
Yeah, I don't know that it would be that bad to reduce turn counts from foods, you know?
I think it would engender a lot of ill will. I mean, I think it's like... a good idea. I don't know why I think that, you know? I mean, I know that if you had talked to me in the first, like, 6 months the KOL existed and told me how many turns people would be getting from food and booze now, I would say, wow, what the fuck was I thinking?
We could do a bunch of rebalancing, though. I mean, we could we could reduce the turn count of... I mean, it would almost all be at the high end, right? Because you're going to notice less and less as the foods get sort of lower and lower in quality, and to the point where I think the stuff at the lowest end isn't going to change at all.
Yeah. And I mean, so part of it was, like, basically trying to come up with this bullshit system for... coming up with the bullshit, like, size quality system, which was designed so that you never... that it was never a bad idea to cook stuff, even when it cost turns.
Yeah.
And
which is a weird... which, to some extent, a weird thing, because you, on the same items, would often make the meat auto-sell value decline.
Yeah. I don't know why I felt that I didn't want... because it didn't take turns. I didn't want combining recipes to be meat positive.
Why?
Because it didn't take turns. It didn't take... it. You were gaining the same resource that you were spending to do it. Right? Like, if you made enough money to cover the meat paste to do it again to two items, right, then it's just... it. Because I don't feel like... I didn't want to encourage people to just have to paste shit together to auto-sell as a profitable...
huh.
Venture, right? Because there's no point to that. That's not fun. That's not, you know, it's just like you're just wasting resources by doing it. You're just wasting page loads.
Interesting.
Spent comparatively little time thinking about the auto sell values of thing. That's kind of been your job.
Yeah.
You know, just like every piece of gear has an auto sell of its power plus 5. Like, what the fuck is that all about? You know, like,
no.
Ryan Janely wrote, has anybody suggested a reference to Michael Palin in the Palindrome, or is Sarah the only Palin on their minds? You know, neither of them, really. Neither of them at all.
People have suggested references to both, and we have...
I mean, the Palindrome existed before Sarah Palin was a gleam in anybody's eye. I mean, she was the governor of Alaska, but nobody paid attention.
Nobody knew that.
Yeah.
She was like a ninja governor.
Lucifer Standard says, thanks for referring me to Jordan Jesse Go. Jesse is such a class act that when I donated a small amount and emailed him an apology about being poor, he sent me a personal message how it was okay. I don't know if that makes him a class act so much as not a prick.
It's okay that you're
and
poor.
It's okay that you only gave us some money, and it's okay that you're poor. Yeah. Jesse likes to talk. I feel like you can talk to him a lot if you want to.
Or listen.
Yeah, listen to him talk a lot. I'm excited. I'm excited about meeting Jesse and Jordan. I'm excited about Max Fun Con.
I think they are probably funnier than we are on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Like,
I still think the Idle Thumbs guys are funnier than us.
I don't know. I think we're probably on par with them in a lot of ways, right? Because they will have more interesting conversations about games than we will in some ways, but I think we will sometimes just have more interesting random
conversations about boobs.
Yeah.
We do talk about boobs more than they do.
That's true.
Girl boobs. Ferdowund says, according to the KOL wiki, there are 3 items that force all saw spells to be hot. 2 from Old Scratch and the Grimoire from the Mistguild store, but only 1, the Grimoire, that makes them cold. Make more advanced grimoires with some nice well, add as a feature to Chef Staves. Yeah, that's a thing that Chef Staves could do. The one thing to keep in mind is that 2 of them are from Old Scratch, and Old Scratch is so far the only clan dungeon boss who specifically drops a sorcerer outfit, and so I needed to pick an alignment of sorcerer that I wanted to do. So the next clan dungeon will explicitly have a boss that drops a gear that is designed for cold sorcerers, and probably just be exactly the equivalent of Old Scratch's drops, because I mean that's a fantastic way to balance things, right? And the same thing, is it Oscus? It's like Stench Postomancers that Oscus is geared towards.
I don't remember how you did that. You did all the gearing for those guys.
Yeah, I believe that it is. I believe that he's the one that drops, because Zombo's Turtle Tamers, Frosty's Seal Clubbers, Chester is Disco Bandits, and then there is no Accordion Thief, set of gear, because that doesn't make any sense. So then they all drop accordion theme songs. That's how.
Yeah, the fact that we are continually trying to connect things that have five elements to things that have six elements is really aggravating.
Yeah, and three stats to five elements, you know, because yeah. three and five doesn't go into five.
We need to start doing things
three
in
doesn't go into six
in 30s yeah. instead of
yeah. Okay. Five, all right. 30 five new sixes. Zones. 30 new skills. 30 new skills. 30 new zones and skills that are combinations of each of the two. Every
yeah.
two of the
yeah, yeah, yeah.
So 30 factorial skills.
Sweet.
Super Dimension Man says, can you explain the difference between has item, owns item, and gots item for those of us who don't know much about it but are interested in the inner workings of KOL? Or would that be spoilery? I've been listening to some old radio shows recently, which is what brings that to mind. Yeah. So there's also holds item. all right. So back in the day, there was only one place for items to be, and that was in your inventory. And so I wrote a function called has item. Which
well, was that true, or could you also have them equipped?
You could have them equipped, yeah.
So there were two places and, for yes. items to be.
And has item did not actually check equipped, right?
Okay.
yeah, which it still doesn't.
Yeah.
Has item is just inventory. So basically it's useful for...
Quest items.
Quest items. Right? Quest items that you can't equip.
Oh, God, yeah.
I fucked some stuff up with the Mystic by fixing a bug and switching from has item to gots item. So then we came up with all these new places that items could exist in. And
closet?
Yeah, closet, display case, Hanks, all this bullshit. So then messages. I was like, all right, I need a function that determines whether this person has this item anywhere. And so that that became owns item, right? And... I wouldn't have necessarily named these like this if I'd written them all from the beginning, but I wasn't going to go through and change all the code everywhere in the game that called has item, right? So then, I kept finding situations where I needed to check every place except Hank's and the display case, because in an ascension, I needed to know if you had essentially gotten an item this ascension, right? If you had the item... in a place that you could get to it.
Inventory closet equipped.
Inventory closet equipped. Yep. And then I ended up writing holds item, which is just has item plus equipped. A single function that checks both.
Oh.
As opposed to, because I kept writing, if has item or equipped this right. item, then do this. And I'm like, you know what? I need a shorthand for that.
And this is all, and I mean, you could do a lot of this with a bigger thing, but it would just be querying more tables and therefore be slower, right? So you're just trying to do the smallest search space that you can?
Well, yeah, but it also doesn't matter for, you know, like, if you're looking up a quest item, you don't, there's no point in checking places that it can't be.
Well, right, but I mean, like...
If you're looking at something that, if you're trying to figure out whether they have access to something, it is explicitly wrong to look in Hank's, right?
In because hardcore.
Because they may run out, you know, or especially in the display case.
Yeah.
Right. Anything that's a free pull is never going to be a thing.
It ain't no thing.
Yeah, it ain't no thing. Yar says, my corpse drink monster got turned into a frog by my bugbear. Make that never, ever happen again. That's awesome. So awesome. Last Chance says, booze equivalent of mug cake and gift shop, please. Now, you will eventually be able to buy some booze that is equivalent to a mug cake.
Yeah.
As spoilers, part of the tavern revamp. Arc9 says, if you think that Legend of Zelda speedrun was weird, I'd like to suggest looking at a similar Chrono Trigger speedrun, which is just impossibly buggy. Unfortunately, I lost the link to this one, but to give you an idea, the first 3 minutes are... Ow.
Are cut off.
Cut off. Jesus.
That sucks. you know... Turning Zelda into a logic puzzle is kind of fascinating to me, right? Because that is just not at all how the game was designed, but emulators and save states and that kind of thing make it possible, and that's just kind of awesome, right? Like, it is this whole second life of this game. You know, people enjoy the game, but they also enjoy this, like, really, really weird sort of abstraction of it, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it would be fun to me at all.
I can imagine it being fun. I mean, like, finding optimal paths, given all of these weird constraints.
Well, I didn't say it wouldn't be fun to you.
No, I know, I know.
I mean, it's like, thinking about it is fun, figuring out how to do it would be fun for me, but then actually executing it would just be impossible.
Doing it, it seems like this took months of their time, and, like, that I think would, I wouldn't be able to do that. But
I mean, just the, like, okay, what's the best way to run through this screen, knowing that the way the movement algorithm works, if you do this, will occasionally let you move 2 pixels in a frame instead of one.
Yeah.
Right? So, all right, I need to just make sure that I do exactly the right thing in every frame. Which maybe they had macros, you know? I mean, maybe it... who knows? It would be fascinating. It probably wouldn't be fascinating. It would probably be boring and confusing to watch them...
The process.
...doing this. Right? Hearing them talk about it might be neat.
Yeah. Yeah, there was that sort of discussion of, like, how that stuff worked.
Yeah.
But, you know, having that drop algorithm spaded out as part of it.
You know what is frustrating to me, though, is that they didn't say whether or not a monster drops an item depends on what frame it is, but they didn't say how many they didn't say what percentage of frames it drops on.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that is the kind of thing that you could probably generalize. Like, you could just kill 1,000 monsters and it would figure out how many of them dropped items, and it would eventually approach.
Yeah.
And it's got to be 1 out of 8, or 1 out of 10, or 1 out of 15, or something, right? I mean, it's got to be...
I think it's more common than that. I would guess, like, 1 out of 4.
You think?
Frames. Or 1 out of 3, maybe. I mean, items don't drop that rarely.
I don't know. You know, I'm trying to think. In my little save state thing that I was doing, where I was standing in the path of an oncoming Octorok and realizing that, like, I'd figured out that if you killed it on the same pixel every time,
yeah,
it would drop an item, and it would drop the same item every time. So I knew that part of it. I had just, in my minor, you know, in my, like, maybe half an hour of experimentation, I had come to some of these conclusions. But it didn't seem like 1 out of 4. Right? In the course of the thing moving, like, 3 trees width towards me, I found 2 spots where it would reliably drop items.
Mm.
But I didn't necessarily check every spot, right? I didn't necessarily
manage...
And it's not
a per-spot thing, necessarily, right?
Well, it is, because they're going to move the same way every time, given the same set of starting conditions, what pixel they're standing in determines what frame it is, or always
that's
corresponds
a,
to the same
question.
Way to
is
what
it,
frame it is.
Is it... based on a frame number, and, like,
I think it is based on a frame
number. Do different monsters have different drop percentages?
They do not.
They don't?
They drop different items.
Right, but...
Oh, yeah, I guess he didn't say.
I mean, who knows, right?
Yeah. No, that is a good point.
Yeah, I mean, maybe my... I'm just remembering it being not that hard to get items, but maybe you're
no,
right.
No, I don't... part of the reason that I wanted to understand this is because I also remember it not being that hard to get items, and so I'm like, well, I want to know how that drop rate system works so that I can, like, sort of analyze it as a satisfying...
I wonder, though, if that's also due to the fact that there are only, like, 6 different things that they drop.
Yeah.
Right? Because, like...
If every monster had its own table with unique items in it, it probably would have been more...
Yeah.
More of a frustrating thing.
So, I mean, there's something in the virtue of the drops being extremely limited that I think makes that work in a way that just does not sort of hold as an analog to KOL.
Yeah.
Which is frustrating, because being able to capture that sort of satisfaction would be really nice.
Oh, no. And I'm not even thinking about applying this to KOL. I've just been... I spend a lot of time trying to figure out ways other than just...
faking?
Yeah. Well, basically, what I'm trying to figure out how to do is faking it. Right? Because you're faking pleasure.
Yeah.
You're shortcutting pleasure with the variable reward schedule, right? So, a way... And in a way that may or may not be unethical, right? May or
so,
may not be sleazy.
I mean, do you think them having a sequence of drops that it just cycles through is bad?
No, I think it's just... I think it's just basically... From the player's point of view, it is just as random as anything else.
Except that it's the same sequence over and over and over again.
Well, depending on which monster. Right, I mean, you will get a sense, and I remember this, oh yeah, the Gorias drop bombs.
Right.
Right, like, if I want bombs, I need to go kill Gorias.
Because, I mean, the one class of monster drops bombs, basically.
Yeah. And blue Octoroks too. Yeah. But I noticed it more. The way that I internalized it was Goria's drop bombs.
Right.
And it made sense because they were blue.
Hmm.
All right, we're gonna get out of here because it's time. But first we're gonna let the dog pound try and answer the age old question: what would you do if you could fuck with me and my crew? I have a feeling the answer is you can't, so don't even think about stepping to the motherfucking house. We'll see you next week.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
Yeah. Back up in your ass with a 27. Don't wanna fuck with me.
Dog pound gangsta.
Yeah. We doing it like that. Motherfuckers out there be like taking our styles. Trying to do their own little this thing. Can't do it, you know? We gon' do it like this. Sit back, relax, and get the cool.
Have you ever heard of a slaughter? I ought to start dipping. Sipping on that ST gets me to tripping. I don't slips, I bangs with that mad ass dog pound gang. It's a DPG bang. Corrupt from the SC. You wanna test me? Let's see if you'll survive 45 times. Like a hollow point headed for your dome. Take a couple steps, turn around in its own. Couldn't withstand the murderous mental. I subdue and then take two to your temple. When I cause holocaust from what's written, niggas collapsing when the straps is spitting. Look, this is how I was done, nigga.
1, 2, 3.
I grab my strap, your best run, nigga. I give the fuck, corrupts the kingpin of the click. Little is G with the biggest dick.
Shit, a motherfucker better recognize. With the twist of my wrist like OJ, you won't die. I snack on motherfuckers like a bone. On a beat of shit upon a microphone ever since I was boned. Not to ever love a bitch. Learn game after game. That's why we are the best. Motherfuckers be gangsta styles minute after minute. But soon as you did it, I smelt the nigga shit. Now what would you do if you could fuck with me or my crew?
But you can't, so don't even think about stepping in the motherfucking house.
Yeah. What would you do, what you do if you could fuck with me or my crew?
But you can't, so don't even think about stepping in the motherfucking house.
Hey, bitch, butterfly all day while I steady make my pay every single day in the LBC. Cruising through the east side, me and Lil Style in the back of a green 6-4 busting freestyle.
There's no escape, give me the papers in the tape case. How much money could a nigga make in one place? The review ain't shit new. You stupid motherfuckers can't fuck with my crew.
I see all these niggas trying to get with my kinfolk. Get so many busters on the west coast. And none to say the least, I see a few trick ass niggas laying low on the east coast. And the question is asked, you wanna rap, scratch my blast, cause that nigga dabs. I'll be the first one to hit him. Oh yeah, fuck BG Knockout and every nigga down with him. Cause I'm a natural born killer, and I still a hat. Motherfucker, cause it's like that.
Now what would you do?
What would you do?
You come up with me or my crew?
It's so many motherfuckers that I can include. Who's quick to blast motherfuckers in a feud? It doesn't make a difference, cause it's about who's the quickest on the draw to end all existence. For instance, let's take these ruthless fools. These ruthless fools in a pound in one room. Assume it's only for conversation, so let's conversate. Slip a nigga to 38 and dip. Empty out the clip, mind on set trip, cause niggas talk shit.
Now if a nigga had a prayer before a nigga died, would the nigga be dead or would he stay alive? And if I was in your shoes, would I survive? Probably not, you probably let your Glock go pop. Now drop to your knees and picture that nigga dance flowing in the breeze. Now what would you do if you could fuck with me or my crew?
But you can't, so don't even think about stepping in the motherfucking house.
What would you do
if
you could fuck with me or my crew?
But you can't, so don't even think about stepping in my motherfucking house.
From the twitch of the eyes, you can see the line. Just know it when you see it, cause it messes up the flow to the real feelings, you know. And I'd rather be sipping on a glass of wine. Can you feel yourself in the ring with Everlast, trying to steal a flow? I don't think so. Cock blockers come with their hearts beating jealousy in the way like a stray dog, trying to claim every bitch as his own. Cock blockers come in every color, even blue, yeah, this is true. Trying to fuck your woman, and even you. Now what the fuck would you do, motherfucker?